Okay, welcome everyone. So good to see you. And welcome to anybody watching on the recording. So this is our coaching call on Tuesday the 10th of October at 8 p.m. UK time. Those of you in the room know me well. Anybody watching a recording that hasn't been in my circle or met me personally on a call, I'm Lisa. I'm one of the support coaches alongside Marion and Scott. I've been hosting a couple of the coaching circles throughout Self Belief School, trained with Sass in her first cohort, and have also been coaching for a really long time. So I'm going to be taking these this particular coaching call once a month now for the rest of the year, and yeah, I'm so looking forward to holding this space for you. So down to business. Let's do a bit of a check-in with ourselves. I think I was just checking in with myself before this call, and I was thinking, wow. It's Tuesday and it feels like it's been a week already, right? I mean, I don't know if that's the same for you. With what's going on in the world, the heaviness of that, what we're seeing, what's coming through, and you know, holding that alongside the like really normal mundane. You know, as a mum myself, I'm still packing the lunches and filling the water bottles. And yeah, I don't know if it's something about the time of year, but people in my world seem to be having all kinds of big stuff going on, big changes, big transitions, some of them hard and some of them really joyful. And I was just acknowledging that I'm here in the midst of all this stuff and I'm just kind of holding it. I'm just holding space for it. And do we give ourselves enough credit for just how many emotions and layers and people that we hold at any one time, and amongst all of it, we still somehow show up to these calls. We still go, yeah, there's something for me here. And I had a thing this morning. I had a call that I was due to be on. I've been really looking forward to it. I mean, say the words wisdom counsel to me and I'm right there. So I was so looking forward to going to this thing, and then I had a call with my mum. First thing, lots of emotions. She's fine, but there was lots to process. She's going through a big transition, and I wanted to support her. I was so happy to support her, and yet I came off the call way later than I should have. I had like 12 minutes to get onto this next call, and I wasn't fully dressed. I hadn't eaten properly. One of those. And it just felt like, you know what? It's too hard. This is going to have to go in the too hard basket. I'm just going to have to ditch this call. And I really was about to ditch it. And then there was this something, this voice inside me that in a really strong, quiet way, just said, no, don't ditch it. Go to the call. What if you go to the call imperfectly, you just scrabble, do what you can, show up as you are, let yourself be a few minutes late if you need to be. What if you just go? And you know what? I don't know if a few years back I would have listened to that. And I think that's the cool thing about this work we're doing here together, that we start to listen to those parts of us and we go, no, this is important. This is needed. There's something here for me. There might be all this other noise, all this other stuff going on, but there's something here that's important and I'm going to show up for myself. And you've shown up for yourself here. And so I just want to honor you for that. Just take a moment to acknowledge that you made this happen tonight, today. You came. You didn't put yourself in the too hard basket. Yeah. So on that note, let's just take a moment to really, really land. I'll just ask you to maybe let your eyes close or soften your gaze. Bring your hand to somewhere on your body, over your heart, over your belly, somewhere that feels good. Just allow yourself to take a slightly deeper breath than you've taken all day so far. Just let those breaths flow in and out as they want to. With every inhale and every exhale, just landing that little bit more here in yourself. Feeling your feet on the ground, feeling what's supporting you. Maybe feeling your shoulders just dropping a little. Doing a bit of a check-in with your body. What's present? What sensations or feelings or emotions are here? Just acknowledging them and allowing them to be here. Maybe noticing what thoughts or questions or stuff is here with you that's present. Just inviting it to be here. Inviting yourself to be here just as you are, totally imperfectly. Nothing to prove, nobody to please here. Just us showing up for ourselves together, sitting with what's present and seeing what we can figure out today. That's what we're here for. And then when you're feeling like you've fully landed, just wiggling your toes, rubbing your hands together, getting some friction going, fluttering your eyes open, taking in your room, looking around you. And then when you're ready, coming back into the pool. Hi. So, my question for you is, what's here with you today that you'd love some support on? Where is self-doubt showing up for you right now? Where you'd like to do some exploring, do some unpacking, get some help? Or a third option, which I'm feeling quite into today because it was something offered to me earlier, is what's your unanswerable question today? Something I loved about this concept when it was offered to me earlier. You know how we show up for things and we go, oh yeah, okay, so I've got this thing, that's okay, that fits the bill, that fits the mold, that fits something that we would normally work on. Or maybe you don't, and maybe you have just some other stuff floating around. And you know how there's sometimes that question that's floating around in you, and it's like, oh yeah, but I don't know that that's what this space is for, or I don't know that there's an answer to that, or I don't know if I can ask this person that because that just seems unanswerable. And I just love this concept of what's your unanswerable question today? And I asked my own earlier, I was invited to, and it was really surprising. So I offer that option to you today. Where's self-doubt showing up for you? What support do you know that you need right now? What thing would you love to unpack? Or what is your unanswerable question? Who would like to share? Mary, do you want to come off mute rather than type? You're so welcome to take up half the session. Laura, how are you feeling, love? Do you want to go first, or would you prefer Mary to? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just nothing's coming to mind.
Okay.
I'm just so busy, busy, busy all the time that I just don't feel like I have a chance to stop and think about my self-doubt at the moment. Yeah, so I can't think of anything right now.
Okay, love. All right. Well, look, be with that offer of mine. If a question comes to you, if a something comes to you, then yeah, we can come back to you and work on that if you want to. All right. Thank you, love. So, Mary, you're on.
So what comes to mind is that I am struggling with my siblings, all my four other adult siblings. My sister in particular, I have one sister, she's about 2 years younger than I am. And we were never close growing up. We all fought like cats and dogs. I mean, physical and hitting, punching, blah. And I would say over the last few years, we've kind of tentatively reached out to each other and would have sort of a text-based relationship. So we don't usually speak on the phone, but we send texts and I had come to think of my sister Sheila as the one sibling who got my experience of the family, the only other female sibling, and I still was wary around her, and so recently my mother died, actually a month ago today, and
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'm actually super relieved, Lisa. And it's a huge growth opportunity. Yay. So the siblings assigned my youngest brother was assigning tasks, and my sister got assigned the obituary, write the obituary. Which she did, and she mentioned my father. And my parents were married for about 15 years and divorced in 1970. And I think it's 23. So we're 53 years past the expiration date of that marriage. And they had almost no contact through us those ensuing years. And there's a mention of my father. She was predeceased by her husband, Jack Lummis. So she wasn't just predeceased. He had a whole other wife and life. And so the obituary was sent out. Sheila was the nominal editor. She emailed it to us. And they said any she said any comments, and I emailed directly back to her saying, I prefer you leave out any mention of Jack, our father. And she sent back a shrug emoji. I didn't like that at all. And then they sent it out again a short while later with some of the information corrected, but the same line about my father. And I said, why are we including him in this obituary? And my eldest brother said something also to that effect. And Sheila writes back, all right, Max, if you say so. It's like, hello? Hello? So I wrote back to her saying, gosh, that really hurts. that when Max requested it, it was a go. And when I requested it, it wasn't. In fact, I requested it twice. And she said something like, well, just shows you the only thing in the middle of the road are dead armadillos and a yellow stripe. And I said, this is really painful. I don't feel you taking responsibility. And you ignored my requests and responded to Max. And I haven't spoken with her since or texted her since. And I know it's an old pattern to say, well, that's it for you. You're out. Done. And time to sit with, what do I want next? What? And I don't know what that seems like, an unanswerable question to me. Part of me is like, oh, come on, you know, don't want to die without having made up with Sheila. And I'm like, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to make it up with Sheila. She's nuts. She's completely insane. And I've been trying to hang on and be a good sister. And I think not. But I don't know if that's just because I'm so hurt. Yeah, so that's what I've been sitting with is, do I do something? If so, what? It's a tender time for all of us. I want to write her a big excuse. I want to write myself a big excuse. And one of my core wounds or stories about my childhood is I was never seen. I was just never seen. Everybody else got attended to some degree or less. And I just didn't get seen. And if I did get seen, it was to be punished. I got some of the worst punishments of the five. And so I'm kind of like, So I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know if it's legitimate even to bring this to this group. I'm not looking for therapy. I guess I'm, you know, what else could be true would be something I think SAS would ask us. And how do I feel? What do I need? I keep asking myself those questions. And yeah.
I just want to reflect back. You know, I first of all want to acknowledge you for sharing that with us, and to just acknowledge that I really hear how painful that was for you. And it makes sense to me to hear you say that, like, my knee-jerk reaction is an old pattern, which is to be like, I'm done with you. And that feels like, you know, a protective part of you that has needed to be active before, that's needed to step up before and say, you're not hurting me like this again.
Yeah.
Like, I so understand that coming up.
Yes, and I think that's how I've dealt with both my parents and, to a greater or lesser degree, my siblings, is like, okay, we're done. I didn't have much relationship with either parent, especially my father, which I think is one of the reasons I didn't want him in that obituary. Plus, I have an ex-husband. I don't want him in my obituary, please note. Yeah, I think it's a very deep, old, family-centered pattern. You're right.
Yeah. And I also heard you say something else, Mary. I heard you say that you don't want to come to the end of your life and have not made peace, or to not be on speaking terms. And I'm just... as I'm hearing that, I'm wondering if you have a sense of what part of you is offering that up.
I think this is where it gets sticky, because I think it's that part of me that is a good girl and is the martyr and is trying to smooth things over so I won't get hurt or make the big people happy. And it's not coming from, and then it gets confused, because core value is compassion and integrity and relationship repair and authenticity and fun is also part of my core values, sense of humor. So it's hard. I tried so hard to repair with my mother and it never worked. She just wasn't up for it. And I feel like here we go again. And I am so loyal to my kids, but I'm feeling like, okay, I'm still connected to my big brother. But the rest of you three who are almost in a separate family, they're younger, like hasta la vista.
Yeah.
Like, I don't wish you ill, but I also am not, I'm going to be cordial and civil when I see you again, if indeed I do see you again, but I'm not putting myself back out there. That's my gut reaction. Like, I'm not up for any more of that. Like, I tried, I have turned the other cheek many times. I've put up with Sheila's somewhat problematic behavior. And I don't have to anymore because my mother's dead. I don't have to work together as a team to get her care, do this, do that, address this. I'm done.
There's something about hearing you say that, Mary, that feels quite grounded. It feels like that's coming from, yeah, I heard you say a minute ago that you weren't sure whether this desire to repair was coming from your martyr or your values, your sovereign resource. Mm-hmm. And I can totally see how that can feel like it's between the two. And then I felt like you dropped into something else when you shared what you just shared about, yeah, I think I really have done what I can do, and I want to just say, yeah, I think I'm done here. I'll be civil when we speak, but I don't need to be doing this pattern, doing this loop with you again. So where do you feel that comes from? Like, what part of you does that come from?
I think some it's my warrior saying, okay, we've been down this road. I now can look ahead and see where we're going, and I'm not going to go there anymore. So I think it's a warrior piece, and I also think it is my gut saying, you know, I don't wish her any ill, you know, good luck, Godspeed. And I don't need to have a front row seat anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Mary, can I get you to connect to that feeling in your gut?
Mm-hmm.
When you said that to me, do you get a sense of, does that have a sensation or a color or something? Like, how would you describe that?
I would say weighty. I would say heavy, but not heavy in the dread, yucky sense. Heavy in the sense of like grounded and rock solid sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you were able to reach in and touch it, how would it feel?
I think it would feel like the really beautiful dirt in my garden.
Yeah. Love that. I wonder if it's helpful if we invite in that part of you that was saying, I ought to repair this. I'll feel better. I don't want to get to the end of my days and not have this good relationship. I wonder if when you think of that, when you put yourself into that, can you find that in your body somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's in my heart. I do. I think it's in my heart because I do think repair is something I really believe in and treasure and work really hard with my kids and have done a lot of that. And I tried very hard, I want to say on my behalf, and we don't have the ex here to dispute it. I tried very hard in my 25 years of marriage to bring that relationship into fullness and life and to address the issues that we had. And so I think it's a really big piece for me. And to let Sheila really go, that takes a lot. It takes a lot, but I also feel like, you know, I gave it my best try. I worked really hard.
Yeah.
And I do love the Maya Angelou quote about believe people when they tell you who they are the first time. That's the piece that I have a problem with, the first time. It's, yeah. I write people a lot of excuses. And I think I'm done with writing excuses for this particular person.
Mm. Yeah, I hear that. I want to offer, Mary, that you're always in choice here.
Mm.
You know, the choice that you make today is the choice you make today. The choice you make tomorrow is the choice you make tomorrow. You know, there's some different energies here that are saying, go this way, go that way. And you might not have the forever answer today, the forever choice today, and you don't have to. And I think listening to those pulls, listening to what they're rooted in, where they're coming from, can just give you these extra kind of layers of information and emotion that you can just tap into and feel into. Because what I'm hearing is that kind of real kind of solid rock warrior feeling in your gut that you mentioned, that didn't sound or feel to me like it was at odds with the heart energy of, you know, really valuing repair. It didn't feel at all like it was pulling in an opposite direction. It felt like both of those energies are really there to support you. And that it's okay if one of them has that stronger pull today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really okay for you to choose what's allowed to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Something else just came to me. I'm wondering if it's going to fly back into my head. This happens sometimes. Time of day. I was just wanting to ask you, if you could really zoom out from this situation and just maybe you don't have an answer for me right now, but if you were able to really tell me where your relationships with other people are, where you are in the world in relation to other people, above all else, what do you want for yourself within that context? You know, is there like a word or a feeling or an emotion that comes to mind? Like at this place in your life, what do you really want for yourself when it comes to you being in relation to others? Like what's really okay for you?
A lot of words are coming. A lot of words. It would be a good thing to journal on.
Yeah.
One word that just pops in, is mutual. It has to be some level of mutuality.
Yeah.
I think I'm done doing all the heavy lifting.
There's that warrior again. Yeah. I'd love to know what your warrior has to say. Like, there's an invitation from me. Can you and your warrior journal on that question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome, Mary, and thank you for sharing that with us and letting us sit with it with you. Has that been helpful?
Super helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, love. All right. So I'm just going to check in with you, Laura, and just see if anything has come up for you since we've been on the call, if there's any support that you would like. And no worries if not, you know, we can have a short call today. That's all good.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing, there's no one thing. There's always lots happening. I think, I have had a lot of self-doubt around, work because, I had two people that worked for me. One is my mother and the other was my best friend, who still is my best friend, but she started working for me because when Eleanor was born, I had someone else working for me, and then when Eleanor was like 2 months old, she left. My best friend was in a position that she needed a job, so she could apply for a mortgage, blah, blah. So she started working for me and then has been there since. So it was a couple of years and through COVID and everything. But she left in February and that's all fine. But it meant that I definitely needed to get somebody else. And I knew that I need to start advertising in May to be able to get somebody in for like the start of summer to start training them ready for when I would be busy from August till December. And I didn't do it. I just kept putting it off. And I think that was probably doubting myself. Some of it was like, because she was my best friend, she just was able to just do things and I didn't need to. We've been friends since we were 13, so there's like no, I could just tell her something and I didn't need to prepare how I was going to say it or make sure I was saying it in a way that would be, I don't know, like a boss to an employee. It was just, can you do this for me? I knew you should get on with it. I could trust her to do it. And it just was so easy. And I've got it, the idea in my head that I'm not going to get that again. And that it's going to be hard. And so I've put off doing the hard thing. And now I'm at a point where I feel like I can't breathe because I'm doing her job and my job. I'm not getting to emails in time. I've had customers that have been with me a long time that they've emailed me a week ago, and now they're emailing me again to say, like, where are you? Where's the communication? And I feel awful all the time. I feel really guilty that I'm not on top of emails, but there's no physical space in the day to do them. And then I think, well, that's okay. In the evening, when I'm sat on the sofa, I'll do the emails then. But every evening, I think I've got Eleanor to bed. I've just eaten. It's 8 o'clock. I've got 2 hours now before I go to bed, where I just need to not be doing anything. And I can't physically bring myself to get the laptop out. I'll just sit there, even if it's just scrolling. And that then in turn makes me feel bad because I could have been doing something with that time, like doing the emails, that would help me for the next day and help me not be so stressed. And I just feel annoyed at myself for, like, months ago. I knew I should have done that to advertise for the job and get someone in. I knew it and I kept thinking about it, but I kept putting it off. And yeah, now I'm in a bit of a mess.
Oh, I hear that, Laura. Can you offer yourself a huge heap of compassion?
I'm trying.
A really good reason why you didn't do it a couple of months ago, because it was feeling risky on some level for you. And now you're feeling it because things are piling up on you, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
What if the stick can be put down and the compassion can be reached for, and you can just look at it like, if it helps you, reflect it onto somebody else. Imagine this was me telling you this. Imagine I said to you, Laura, I had some resistance to trying to recruit somebody. It felt really hard. I had loads of reasons not to do it. I didn't do it. And now I'm feeling like it's all caving in on me. I've got so much to do, I can't breathe. Like, imagine the compassion that you'd offer me.
Yeah.
Can I send that to you? Yeah. Would it help you if we look at the resistance to you recruiting somebody? Could that be helpful today?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So I hear you. You're moving from a place with your best friend where there was a sense of ease. You've known her so long. The communication was really easy. You felt relaxed in yourself. That's what I'm hearing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, you could just tell her, ask her to do something. It didn't have to be overthought. She could just get on with it. Probably having been friends that long, you can kind of communicate without actually communicating on some level. Yeah. And so I wonder, I have a sense, but I wonder if you can put into words, if you can name what was particularly hard about the thought of either the process of recruiting somebody or somebody actually coming into your workspace. Like, was it one or the other? Was it both?
Yeah, I think it was someone coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I keep telling myself it's the process, but yeah, I think it's just going to change so much.
Yeah.
And as well, there's like a pressure to get it right. Yeah, because it's not so easy to... Well, yeah, it's not easy to judge a person on an interview. And also, like, we're such a small team, just with it being me and Mum now, that we need to get on with that person. And I don't have the capacity for being messed around.
Yeah.
Whereas with Mikayla, it was just, you know, she's a mother too, and you know, if for whatever reason she couldn't be in that day, I knew she'd make up the time, and I needed her to be flexible, and she needed me to be flexible, and it just worked. And I guess I want that again, but I know it won't be exactly the same. So,
yeah,
I guess I'm resisting that.
Yeah. Am I hearing like there's almost like a pre-disappointment? Because whoever it is, they're not going to be Mikaela.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, and there's like no hard feelings on her leaving. And I said that from the beginning. I said I didn't want her to start working for me if it was going to make things difficult. So we're still friends. I said, you know, if any other job comes up that is what you want to do, because this was just supposed to be a stopgap. Like go for it. There's absolutely nothing wrong there. But yeah, it's just that. Yeah, finding that again. I guess I'm probably not going to. So
yeah.
I'm avoiding it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I get that. You know, it sounds as though your protector has got some perceived risks going on here. Like, can you name them? Do you know what your protector is worried about here?
Just it being like adding more to my plate and just more stress, and it not actually helping me. But I know realistically avoiding it altogether isn't the answer either, so
Do you remember when we did the Belief Buster stuff together, and we would look at what thing we wanted to be moving forward but weren't moving it forward, and then we were asking ourselves, so what are we doing instead of the thing we want to be doing? And so that was the one we were doing, like procrastination or passive behaviors. It was like the six P's of perfectionism. And then we were looking at, and so what's the risk? And it sounds to me like, you know, there's some disappointment here, there's some complexity, there's a risk of it all just getting more complicated and all feeling too much. And then when we would look at the other part of the Belief Buster, we would find that, I don't mean the Belief Buster, do I? I mean the Uncovering Protective Beliefs, that we were already experiencing those risks by not doing the thing, by not moving the thing forward, like it's often the case. So it's like our self-doubt's trying to keep us safe from something, but we're already feeling it and in another way because we're not getting that solution that we need.
Yeah.
So, Laura, I'm just wondering, if you can't have Mikaela work with you, Mikaela, I'm not sure what you said.
Mikaela, yeah, that's fine.
If you can't have Mikaela, what's the next best thing? Describe to me this person. Who's the next best thing? You don't have to name him. You might not know them yet.
I don't know. It worked so well with her and her specific situation. So I feel like another mum that wants to work between school hours would, like, I only need like 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining just the exact same scenario, but I can't advertise for that.
You can't advertise for that, but you can choose somebody based on your own criteria.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm wondering. Describe to me. So she's another mum. And what is it about her that makes her a good fit for you? This is your criteria, not the advert.
I don't know. What? Like, I don't even know if it's, I don't even know if it's like personality or personal qualities. I need to be able to concentrate. And I guess not have that, like, obviously the person wouldn't need training, but the employees I've had previous to that have been apprentice roles where they've been like 17 years old. And they do a lot of like standing around waiting for the next thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to concentrate, and then I could just feel this person lingering. And she would just see things that needed doing, you know, like women do, I guess. Like, she could see the floor needs sweeping, so she'd just do it. And that was a real help to me, because I didn't need to keep thinking about what they were doing and also what I was doing. So yeah, I guess I'm looking for someone who can do that.
Yeah,
you can use their initiative, I suppose. And yeah, it's not, yeah, the qualities of a person, or I don't know, I don't know. Maybe that's why I need to work on that first, perhaps.
I'm wondering what kind of person would you find it most comfortable to have around? Or maybe it helps, like, to ask yourself, what could I not cope with? And see what the other side of that is.
Yeah. I guess I just want someone a bit like me, that's quiet and yeah, I don't want someone who wants to chat all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I've got this idea in my head, I suppose, that my workplace is unlike normal workplaces, because I've not really been in a normal workplace. Like, I haven't worked in an office. I worked in TK Maxx for like 3 years while I was at university. And then straight from doing my master's, I started my business. So I've never worked in a creative studio, or I don't know how it works. So I think I've got this idea in my head that what I do, people will find, like, not strange, but I don't know, not enjoyable, or they won't want to work there. I don't know. Like, I don't have time for, let's all sit down and have lunch together, or like, let's, I don't know, do fun work things. I just need to work. So, yeah, I think I'm telling myself that it's not a good job, and why would that person want it? Like, oh, yeah, that, like, I was doing a favour for Mick, in that she needed a job to get mortgage, and she was doing a bit of a favour for me because I had a brand new baby and I needed someone in quick.
We always know it's the truth when the tears come.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm hearing is there's a story here that says, I'm not somebody people would want to work for. You know, what we first heard was, I don't know that I can find the right person that's going to be a good fit for the studio, for me, that's going to feel okay. And there's also this story here that's saying, I don't even know that I'm a good person to work for, a good place to work.
Yeah.
What can your healthy adult self offer here, Laura?
I don't know.
What else could be true? You know, this is the self-belief school question. I have to ask it of you. So what else could be true?
But I know, like if I was a person looking for a job, like it would be a place that I would enjoy to work. So there must be other people out there like me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mary's even summed it up for you in the chat here. She's like, I'm hearing that you need a self-starter with good work ethic, smart, perceptive, flexible, doesn't need a lot of direction or social interaction. Yeah,
thank you.
we want somebody that can come slot in, who's not like all big energy and chat, 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 and let's have lunch together. We want somebody that's going to come in. Maybe she's a mum. Maybe she already gets it. Like she knows that when the floor needs sweeping, it needs sweeping, and like, let's get on with it. But she knows instinctively when, you know, a little bit of chat's okay, and when actually it's quite nice to just get on quietly together in that kind of peaceful productivity. Yeah, Mary wants the job. Mary, do it. Wales is beautiful. think of another you out there who sat here going, oh, you know what, I just really need a job. Like, I don't need that many hours, but I just really need something for me. I need somewhere I can go and do some work that, you know, isn't like massively taxing, but is still like busy and productive. I'm maybe a bit of an introvert, or I don't love chatting all the time. I don't want to go somewhere busy. Feels like the only jobs that are part-time are in these busy places. I just love this quiet little studio, maybe something a bit creative even. Like, and, you know, frankly, I'd do that for free, but, you know, if they're going to pay me, then wow.
Yeah.
How many of those people are out there? I reckon there's a lot. I reckon there's a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
And I think if you were, like you said, if you were in the position of this person that sat out there, then, and you go to this interview at this little studio with just a couple of people, and it feels quiet, and it feels like just kind of, everybody's just kind of getting on with their thing, and, you know, people are kind of quite soft and gentle, and it just feels easy to be there without feeling like you've got to kind of perform. Imagine how relieved you'd be to walk into a place like that. And if the person in charge just gave you some really kind of clear steers on what this business is all about, you know, like, this is how this works. What if the person that you were going for an interview with was like, look, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a massive chatter. Like, sometimes we're just going to be beavering away together. Like, does that feel okay for you? You'd be like, yes, sign me up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like your right person is out there.
Yeah, thank you. I feel better.
And, you know, just one more thing to offer, Laura. I feel like I want to offer to you to really connect to that part of you that knows, you know, that maybe older, wiser part that can really spot the thing when she sees it, and just know that you can trust yourself, that when people walk through the door to interview with you, you'll know if they're a good fit or not, and you get to choose, you get to say yes or no, and that you can trust yourself to maybe even wait for, you know, past the first couple of interviews to the third or the fourth, maybe when that person walks in the door and you have a good chat and you go, oh, I think I could be around this person. I think this could work. And then you try. Yeah. Does that help you, Laura?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Please let us know how you get on.
Yeah, I will.
I mean, I'd say, you know, we'll pop over for a cup of tea, but I don't know that you've got tea breaks on offer, and that is fine. You get to choose how your workplace operates. This is your space. Like, how awesome that you haven't worked in loads of other companies and seen how it's done, because you've just created this from you. Like, that's huge. That's amazing. It's brave.
Yeah, I feel like it was out of necessity, because I feel like I couldn't work for anybody else, because I'd like to do things my own way. And even in TK Maxx, just like being told, I'm like, I can see what needs doing. I don't think I could have been working for someone else. No.
That is a great thing. You know, and what if you can just really, really own the uniqueness of what you have created? Who's to say that the other people that have got other businesses are getting it all right anyway? Like, yeah. It's not right for you, but yours is, your business is. All right, lovely. You listen, let us know how you get on.
Okay.
All right. All right, loves. Thank you so much for what you shared today, and how open you've been to us seeing what we can work with, seeing where we can get to with it. I'm so glad that this has been helpful for you. I just want to, just as we close, I just want us to take a moment to, as we move back into the rest of our evening or the rest of our day, just notice one thing that you could be doing as soon as you get off the call to take care of you. We've taken this time out together for this hour. We've unpacked some stuff. We've felt some stuff. This has all been in the midst of the wider context of a day and a week and all the other things that we're holding. And I just want you to just acknowledge for yourself one thing that you'll do as we close the call to take care of you. Give me a nod if you've got something. Cup of tea, breath of fresh air out the back door, a walk, deep breath. I'm going to go and have a bath and listen to a podcast. That's my thing, because I won't sleep if I don't wind down. So I'm going to go and do that thing for myself, take care of myself that way. So yeah, I hope that you can go and do that for you. And those of you listening on the recording, this applies to you too. As this call closes, how do you go and take care of yourself? Oh, yes. Yes, please, Mary, sign us up. We're coming to walk the labyrinth with you, for sure. And Laura, yes to that too. Absolutely. I would join you in that one. All right, loves. Thank you so much for your presence. Please thank yourself for showing up for yourself and for the beautiful work you've done. And I will see you again soon. All right, feel free to come off mute and say goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you both.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye, Mary. Thank you. Bye, Laura.
Bye.
Yeah.